infant holy,
infant lowly, for his bed of cattle stall. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the baby is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the baby.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another Lord's Day when we can gather together, when we can praise your wonderful name. We thank you for this special season of the year that it reminds us that God so loved that he gave. Help us that we might love that same way too. Help us to look for ways that we might be able to give to others, especially those who can never repay us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Meet with us now and have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand and join with me as we sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Join with us now as we share in the litany for the third Sunday of Advent. If we look to our own lives, we see a mixture of giving and selfishness. Our waiting on the Lord turns to worry and endless rush. We miss the meaning of Advent.
Lord, forgive our frantic ways and misplaced efforts.
But we can also trust in God, who still brings salvation, who supplies strength, who hears our songs of gratitude, who accepts our joyful praise.
Let us draw living water from the well of salvation.
Let us shout it in church and in town. Give praise to the Lord. His love and grace give life meaning.
His greatness amazes us.
The Holy One of Israel is among us.
Praise the Lord and sing for joy.
You may be seated. At this time, we will have the lighting of the Advent candle. We appreciate Kevin and Teresa Murphy sharing with us at this time.
We lit the candle of watching and the candle of preparation. Today, we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of praise. As we light this candle, let us remember and be thankful for all God has done for us.
When the Lord restored his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. What are you grateful for today? How do you express your joy and praise of God?
Let us pray. God of life, we sing your praises in shouts of joy and whispers of thanks. We praise you with praises, with prayers and songs and laughter. Remind us that you are the source of life and that everything we have is a gift from you. In this season of giving, may we truly be joyful, praising your name. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share?
Don and I would like to ask all of you to pray for his cousin, Teresa Bourne. I don't know if I can do this. She has liver cancer, which has been unresponsive to treatment. She will go this Tuesday to St. Louis to the Siteman Cancer Center at Washington University Hospital. She hopes that she'll be strong enough to do a clinical trial that may be available there. Pray for her family, which includes her 96-year-old mother and 3-year-old twin grandchildren.
Oh my, thank you. Is that in St. Louis?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
all.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Wanda and the twins are all under the weather. I know they would appreciate your prayers. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving and caring for us so much. Here we are, Lord, a little over a week away from Christmas Day. And so many of us really aren't ready. Oh, maybe we've done all the things we can do. We've got the decorations up. We're ready to fix all the foods. We're ready for family and friends to gather in. But Lord, we need to prepare our hearts. Remind us that just as the innkeeper had no room for this family, so often in our Christmas rush, we have no room for Jesus either. Remind us what this is all about. We can't imagine going to a birthday party where everybody gets gifts except the one who's celebrating a birthday. Lord, as we approach Christmas Day, we pray that you would remind us whose birthday it is. May we find ways to give to you. May we find ways to share your loving grace with others. May we find ways, Lord, to reach out to those for whom this is not a joyous time of the year. Ways to lift them. Ways to show your love and your peace and your joy to them. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Remind us that it's with you, it's not a matter of naughty and nice. With you, it's a matter of those who have accepted your gift of love and grace and forgiveness and eternal life. You started this giving thing, Lord. May we as your children carry it on. Thank you. Be with our troops today scattered across the globe. Those separated from friends and loved ones. Be with their families, Lord. We pray that you would make this a very special time for them in spite of their circumstances. We pray that you'd be with people across the globe, Lord, who don't have a whole lot of reason to celebrate. Be with those who haven't heard about your love and your grace. Help us that we might be messengers to them. Meet with us now, Lord. May the babe of the Bethlehem manger be born anew in our hearts. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. The same Jesus who later taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Would the ushers please come? Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing, please, as we sing two verses of the First Noel. Be seated. Reading from the book of Micah, chapter 5. Mobilize, marshal your troops. The enemy is laying siege to Jerusalem. With a rod, they will strike the leader of Israel in the face. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you. One whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the time when the woman in labor gives birth to her son. Then at last, his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored all around the world. And he will be the source of our peace. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, good will to men. Till the ringing, singing on his way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, good will to men.
In case you haven't caught on yet, today we're talking about at the manger we can find Christmas peace. In this day and age, we might rightfully ask, can there really be peace on earth? Since the beginning of recorded history, this old world in which we live has been at peace only 8% of the time. In over 3,100 years of recorded history, only 286 of those years have been without wars. During that same period of time, over 8,000 treaties have been broken. That doesn't even take into consideration looking at the idea of personal peace, peace at home, peace at work, financial peace. In this world of uncertainty and personal turmoil, can Christmas still deliver peace? Micah was a prophet between 742 and 687 BC, about the same time as Isaiah. Micah was from the poorer class of Israel and was acutely aware of the many injustices of those who had wealth. Micah said that God had sent the Assyrians as punishment because of the sins of Israel. However, the people were not to lose hope. Following God's discipline would come a time of tremendous blessing connected with the coming of the Messiah. Michael predicted that a woman would give birth to a baby in Bethlehem, and this child will be their peace. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. 700 years later, in a cave on the outskirts of Bethlehem, a virgin by the name of Mary gave birth to this promised Messiah who brought peace. Let's think for a few moments this morning. I promise you I'll be done before 1 o'clock and I will not be jumping any pews in the meantime. But let's look at what this peace looks like. First of all, it is a peace through forgiveness. Jerome, one of the early church fathers, had a dream one night in which Jesus visited him. In the dream, Jerome offered all of his money to Jesus. Jesus said, "I don't want your money." He then offered Jesus all of his possessions. Jesus said, "I don't want your possessions." Jerome then answered, "Well, Lord, what do you want?" And Jesus replied, "Give me your sins. That's why I came, to take away your sins." Forgiveness of sins. That's the essence of real peace that Jesus gives. Once we accept the Lord's forgiveness in our own hearts, then we can experience true peace. Secondly, it is a peace of circumstances. For us as humans, happiness very often is contingent upon our circumstances. Peace is a result of Jesus Christ living and reigning in my heart. It's the assurance that I am safe in His hands no matter what may be going on around me. Peace is a trust in the midst of turmoil. The peace of Christ gives us confidence to say that we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We can say that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the peace Christ gives is beyond understanding. How in the world can a Christian lose their job and not worry? How can a believer look cancer in the face and not flinch? How can a Christian keep going after the loss of a loved one? How can believers give up their lives as martyrs instead of denying Christ? It's because of the peace that Jesus gives when we place our faith in Him. In Philippians 4, it says it's a peace that is more wonderful than a human mind can understand. Fourth, the peace of Christ is always available. Before Jesus left His disciples, He promised the Holy Spirit would be with them to give them peace and comfort. In Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came giving comfort and encouragement to all believers. When we are in Christ, Christ's peace is in us. We don't need to worry or be afraid. Let's go back in time. It was a dark night in 1741. A musician by the name of George Frederick Handel stumbled down a London street. He was filled with despair. Poor health, misfortune, and bad relationships caused him to feel lonely and hopeless. Because of a cerebral hemorrhage, he was partially paralyzed. His eyes were beginning to fail. It had been a long time since he had been able to apply himself to writing music. His self-esteem was at low ebb. His health and friends were gone, and he was certain that his life was over. When he returned to his shabby home that evening, there was a package in front of his door. And as he opened it, he found pages of words to a new piece of sacred music with a note from Charles Jennings, asking him to compose music for it. Half-heartedly, Handel looked through the pages. Then he read, "He was despised and rejected. He looked for someone to have pity on him, but there was no one. Neither found he anyone to comfort him." Those words written about the coming Messiah spoke to Handel. It was what he was feeling: despised, rejected, and alone. With a growing sense of kinship, he read on. He trusted in God, and God did not leave him. God gave him rest. Then he read, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah." As the words seemed to come alive, he began to write music. The melodies seemed to come straight from heaven. Day after day, he locked himself in his room, ignoring sleep and food. Sometimes he became so moved by his work that he wept and shouted. Finally finished, he fell into bed and slept for 17 hours straight. on his desk was one of the greatest and most beloved pieces of gospel music ever written, Handel's Messiah. In his later years, Handel endured more infirmities, including blindness, but he never again despaired. What happened to George Frederick Handel was that he experienced Christmas. The babe of the Bethlehem manger was born anew in his heart. When we experience Christmas, we find peace. First, we find peace within. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Home Alone. I don't know how many of you, like me, have seen it 20 times. Haven't counted them, but that's probably close. In this movie, Kevin was accidentally left at home alone when his family went on their European vacation. On Christmas Eve, feeling sad and lonely, he went to church, where he met an older man who was also feeling lonely. Kevin told the man that he felt guilty because he didn't always treat his family right. The man replied, "You're in church now, and this is a place to come when you're feeling bad about yourself. We're not here because of what we have to give as much as we're here about what we need, and that's okay. That is what church is all about." Pardon me a second here. I realize in speech class they tell you not to do that, but you got to do what you got to do. A young boy spent several weeks in Sunday school making a small ceramic tray for his mother as a Christmas gift. It was finally finished. He could not wait to see the look on his mother's face when he gave it to him. He was so excited. As he ran down the hallway at church, he tripped and fell. The tray flew from his hands and hit the floor and broke into a dozen pieces. He sat on the floor looking at it as large tears rolled down his chubby cheeks. People stopped to try to help. They said things like, "It's just clay. You can make another one. It's not worth crying over." But their comments made him cry even more. Finally, his mother came running up. She knelt down on the floor beside her son and wrapped her arms around him and held him closely. Then she said, "You know, this is fixable. Help me pick up the pieces and we'll take them home and make them as good as new." That's what Christmas is all about. Every one of us is shattered and cracked and broken. You know, Paul said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Somebody said that what Paul was politely saying was we're a bunch of cracked pots. God reaches down, puts his arm around us, and says, "This is fixable. Give it to me and we'll make it as good as new." Christmas offers you and me peace, but we have to accept it. Secondly, we discover peace with others. A number of years ago, Hank Aaron walked up to the desk of a hotel in the northeast part of our country and requested a room. The desk clerk replied rudely, "We do not have any rooms available. You're going to have to look somewhere else." The hotel manager was standing nearby and he recognized the baseball superstar at the desk. He reprimanded the desk clerk and told him this was Hank Aaron, the player for the Braves who had just broke Babe Ruth's home run record. The desk clerk apologized profusely and he said, "Mr. Aaron, why didn't you tell me you were somebody?" Without hesitating, Hank Aaron replied, "Son, everybody is somebody." So this is what Christmas says to you and me. Everybody is somebody. If we could remember that, we could change our world. And it would certainly change our relationships with others. Finally, we have peace with God. It was just 2 days before Christmas. There was a long line of people at the post office frantically trying to get last-minute packages to friends and family. A woman was trying to keep her three little children in tow and wrestle with a big, large, heavy package. She finally got to the counter. The clerk weighed the package and looked at the zip code and he said, "It'll take $50 to get this to Florida by Christmas." The woman said, "That's ridiculous, but I'll have to pay it. It has to be there by Christmas Day because this is my father's birthday present and his birthday is on December 25th. The clerk replied, "What a bummer. I'm glad I don't know anybody born on December 25th. Someone at the back of the line replied, "I'm glad I do know somebody born on December 25th. Now, I realize December 25th is an arbitrary date for the birth of Christ, but it's the idea we're looking at here, not the semantics. How about you? Do you know the one whose birth we're celebrating? Have you found the Christmas peace that he wants to give you? Peace with yourself, peace with others, peace with God. The interesting thing about that peace is it is a gift. And the big truth about gifts is to have it, you've got to receive it. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this very special time of the year. We pray now that you would help us, that we might allow the babe of the Bethlehem manger to be born anew in our hearts, that we might celebrate Christmas anew and afresh, and for many of us, after celebrating 70 or 80 or more of them, they all seem to blend in. Make this one special, Lord. Help us that we might realize that every day of the year we're called to be a Christmas people. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing one verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Just by way of explanation, I don't want you to be offended, but I'm not going to shake hands with you as you go out this morning. Okay, you don't want what I've got, and if you've got something, I'd really rather not get that either. So we will be back there to greet you, and please don't be offended. It's nothing personal. It's not because I don't like you, it's because I do. Okay? Go now, and may the babe of the Bethlehem manger live and reign in your hearts. May you experience Christmas every day of the year. May you be ready to share that loving grace that God gave so richly to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.